For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me here for this Thursday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. We are a Sports Ethos presentation, of course, and I'm your host, Joe Orico. You can find me over on Twitter at JoeOrico99 and also at EthosFantasyBB. That's where we post all of our new content, whether it's podcasts, articles, news and notes, every bit of baseball content. You can find it over there. And if you're not somebody who uses social media, please do check out SportsEthos.com. Guys, I mentioned it yesterday, and I mentioned it a couple times this week, but I am feeling a little bit under the weather, so again, this is not going to be the longest show. Yesterday, I went longer than I thought. I think we were about 25 minutes. Today, we're probably going to be closer to that 15-minute mark. I'm just really not feeling well, but I still did want to get out a podcast today. We're going to be talking about the stuff that happened on Wednesday that is worth talking about, and I do tweet this stuff out in my nightly quick hits. You can find it at the JoeOrico99 account. It gets shared out on our different accounts, but a lot of the time, the notes that I do talk about on the show will have been tweeted out earlier on, and then I'll expand on them on the show. So if you're not following on Twitter, you should go ahead and check out what I got going on over there. But we're going to talk mostly about Wednesday, and then we are going to also mention Hunter Brown later on, because I've already gotten a few questions today. It looked really, really bad, and we're going to touch on that later on in the show. But let's start on a happier note with Cody Bradford. He had a fantastic outing against the Oakland Athletics on Wednesday. Again, yes, it's the Oakland Athletics, but still, he's looked very good regardless of who he's faced so far this year, you know. And there were a couple people who were like, ah, well, it's the A's. Well, he just did it last week against the Astros as well, and I know the Astros are not exactly in tip-top shape yet, but, you know, there's still a fantastic lineup that he has to get through. And he did it, and he's done it now for a few outings this season. He's the number 6 ranked player if you are just looking at Yahoo's player ranker through 19 and a third. In his 3 starts, he's won all of them, 17 strikeouts, a 140 ERA, a .62 whip. He's been fantastic. He led all starting pitchers yesterday with 17 whiffs, which is massive. Even though it's a bad team, like, there's still signs that he's really, really turned a corner. He looks like a different pitcher this year. And I do expect him to stay in that rotation long-term for the Rangers. I think Andrew Heaney would be the guy that would eventually get kicked out once they need to start filling spots there and somebody's got to go. I think it will be Andrew Heaney, barring any crazy changes. I think he is the guy that is maybe not a full-on drop, but I can understand it, where Cody Bradford is somebody that I would be adding wherever you can find him. And you can still find him in some leagues. 66% rostered. Most competitive leagues, he's probably gone, but you still might be able to find him here and there. Let's talk about Cutter Crawford. Cutter Crawford, his ERA for the season is .57. Like, if you're just looking at that, you're looking at 18 strikeouts and 15 and two-thirds. The whip is also below 1. You're thinking, okay, like, this is really good stuff. But he's walked 8 batters through his first 15 and two-thirds. He walked 4 yesterday. I think that there is still some risk here with Cutter Crawford. A lot of people are anointing him like an ace and all this stuff. I don't know that I'm ready to go anywhere close to that. First of all, like, he's still available in some leagues, so you should be adding him. Like, he's not somebody who should be on waivers, but I also worry that he's still very risky to start in a lot of matchups. His home starts last year, his ERA was 6. Away starts, his ERA was 2.49. Like, the Fenway factor, Eno Saris, when we did our pitcher preview in January with him and with Nick Pollock, he mentioned the Fenway factor, that it's something that, you know, the ballpark factors in and of itself are brutal. It's like the third most hitter-friendly park, so it's tough to pitch in, but there's also a psychological factor to pitching in Fenway. Eno described it pretty well on our show. It was our 500th episode, if you want to go back and find it. Early February, I think it was. And Eno described it really well, and a lot of pitchers have described to him how they don't like pitching in Fenway. And to go along with the park factors, I mean, you can see it, right? A 6 ERA compared to 2.49, and it's happened, like, not just last year, but for his career, he's much better away from Fenway, and most pitchers are. So you're scared to start him for probably half of his starts. I mean, that's not ideal, right? And there's also going to be other tough matchups where you're kind of not 100% there, because Cutter Crawford is not like ace tier. We know this. You're not going to start him. I'm not sure about the schedules, but they're not going to start him against the Dodgers and the Braves and those type of teams, right? So how many teams are we starting him against? If we're not playing him at home most of the time, not to say you wouldn't start him at home against like the Athletics or whatever, but I think a lot of the time you're going to be scared to start him at home. You're going to be starting him selectively on the road. And, you know, Cutter Crawford is somebody last year who was good but not great at the same time. Like, there is potential here, but I think that people who are going out of their way to say, like, he is an ace and trading for him, you know, buying high on him, I think it's a bit of a mistake. I think there are still a lot of red flags here that do worry me. Like, yes, if he's available in your league, he should be picked up, but don't be expecting that you just have an ace on your team now. We've got some signs of life from Vinny Pasquantino, not just yesterday when I had written these notes, but also today as well. He was one of the guys who really got to Hunter Brown. So in his last 8 at-bats, he's got 6 hits. He's driven in 8. He has a home run. He broke that last night. He hit his first home run of the season after just a brutal start. He was like 4 for his first 33, but he's starting to turn a corner. I expect him to pick up the pace. And, you know, it will likely be a pretty decent line at the end of the season. But also don't be surprised if his power is a bit hindered coming off of the shoulder surgery he had last year. I'm not going to be cutting Vinny Pasquantino even in shallow leagues. I know people have been talking about that. But when I did my show a couple days ago with Gray Albright from Razzball, he made a really good point that we're likely looking at about a 270 batting average, probably, you know, 18, maybe 20 homers. The counting stats in the Royals lineup, I know they've been doing well, but they're not going to be this good all year. Like, they're having a good stretch, but I don't think they're a great offense. You're not looking at a lot of counting stats, and then you're looking at no speed from him as well. Like, can you do better in a 10-team league for your first base, corner infield type? You probably can. So as much as I like Vinny, I wouldn't be too attached in shallow formats. I'm not cutting him yet. I'm not cutting him right now. And again, like, he looks like he's kind of maybe breaking out of a slump the last couple days. But at the same time, if there's somebody really, really nice sitting on your waiver wire, or somebody that gets dropped, you know, somebody's panicking on a top 150 type of pick and Vinny's maybe looking like your worst player on a 10-team league, I wouldn't hesitate to cut him in shallow formats. But again, like, it is very soon to be giving up on a player that you spent like a top 150 pick on. Although honestly, some drafts he was going 170, 180. People were kind of out on him. Maybe they were right to be worried about the power. I think it will get better. But at the same time, like, 10-team leagues, you know, Gray Albright really did, change my view on him in shallow leagues to the point where I don't think he's, like, absolutely 100% must-hold. I'm still holding him myself, but I'd understand moving on in those shallower formats if you really want to. Edward Julian falls into the we-gave-up-too-quickly club. He had 2 home runs yesterday. He even hit one of them off a left-handed pitcher, which was the first time he's done that in his career. He's leading off every day against righties. I think he's not somebody that you're going to see a lot in the lineup against left-handers, but, you know, he'll still get in there here and there. I think that he's fine. Like, I think the people who are cutting him, and he's fallen down to about 50, 51% on Yahoo. I think they're giving up way too soon here. You're getting a little bit of speed on base percentage league specifically. You should not be giving up on him because he's just ridiculous in terms of on base percentage, but good power, a little bit of speed, can hit for a decent batting average. He should be leading off most of the time. Most pitchers are righties, you know, the whole strong side platoon thing. You're essentially an everyday player when you're a strong side platoon. I know it doesn't always work out that way. Who was it? The Pirates faced like 7 lefties in a row to start the year, and things like that do happen. But generally speaking, you're a strong side platoon guy. You're playing pretty much every day. And Edward Julian, for me, falls into the category of you should be absolutely rostering him if he is sitting on your waiver wire. Jerickson Profar has been off to an incredible start. It's just very hard for me to buy in to a breakout now. Like, there's been a couple of actually decent seasons from Jerickson Profar that it's easy to forget about that took place, you know, what was it, 7 years ago or so? Let me just double check when it was exactly. Like, actually not even quite that long ago. 2018 and 2019 were pretty decent fantasy years. He was like 20 and 10. It was fine, but he was like a top prospect. I remember back when I was in high school, he was a top, like the number one prospect in baseball. It never really worked out for him in Texas. He went to Oakland and San Diego, and he's bounced around a few places, and he's never really panned out. Is he finally panning out now at age 31? I'm inclined to believe likely not with these kind of scenarios. You know, Ronel Blanco, it's same kind of thing. Is he breaking out finally at 31 years old? It's not very likely. I think Blanco's 30, but you get my drift. It's just not something that I expect to really sustain. He's looked very good, Jerkson Profar, but he has a 382 BABIP when his BABIP for his career is 268. So that's going to come way down. The batting average is probably going to drop about 100 points. It's at 333. It's not going to be anywhere close to that. There's really no speed. There's not a hell of a lot of power. He's just had a bit of a hot streak. So if people want to overvalue him, I think that they are making a mistake. And overvaluing him at this point is valuing him as a rosterable player. And like, I just don't think that he is really anywhere. People who are adding him are going to be dropping him again in the next week or so. Yusei Kikuchi looked great, really, really great against the Mariners yesterday. Six innings pitched. He allowed one earned run, struck out nine, walked two, and had a 33% CSW. People on Yahoo, at the time when I wrote this, he was on 45% of rosters, and I thought he'd go up a little bit. He's still only at 45%. He's been fantastic. His first three starts of the year, specifically these last two against Seattle and the Yankees, have been really great. I wrote about this in the offseason, that there were 19 qualified starting pitchers who had above-average stuff plus, location plus, and pitching plus in 2023, and Kikuchi was the only one that you could draft outside of the top 200 ADP. He had nearly a 20% strikeout minus walk rate. He had a good Sierra. He had a good XFIP. There was a lot there to really like with Kikuchi, and I wasn't sure why he was so cheap. I wish I had him on more teams. I only have, I think, two shares of Kikuchi. I didn't practice what I was preaching enough in the offseason in terms of what he was doing. I wish I had him on pretty much every team the way he's looked so far. He looks like he's really redeveloped himself over these last couple of years, and he should not be sitting on any waiver wires. 45% is a crazy low number for a guy with that kind of talent. Blaze Alexander has started his career off very well. He had a second home run yesterday that was in Colorado, but you know, we'll take it. He has free reign at shortstop until Perdomo is back. And even if Perdomo comes back, Perdomo will come back. I think he's expected to be out about a month, 6 weeks at the most. I think that there's a decent chance that Blaze Alexander can still, you know, keep that job. But for the time being, he's somebody where I like the skill set. He's going to play every day. He's got second and short eligibility. I think you can take a chance on him for now. He's been on an absolute hot streak. 345 batting average, a couple of homers. He's stolen a base. 10 for 29 is a really nice mark to be hitting. That dual eligibility is really nice as well. So I think that he is somebody that does warrant a pickup in 12-team leagues, and you'll probably be able to get about a month out of him at the worst, and best-case scenario is you're able to get him for the rest of the season. Jake Cronenworth, another home run yesterday, and I've said it repeatedly now. I'm going to just keep talking about him until you guys go ahead and add him more. 60% now on Yahoo. He was at 57 yesterday. He was at 53% 4 days ago. So he's slowly getting up there. But man, like, you've missed out on a lot of production if you're just letting Jay Cronenworth sit there while you're thinking about it, because he's already hit two home runs. He's got 13 ribbies. He's scored seven runs. He's not stolen a base, but he's batting 304 through 56 at bats so far. First and second eligible. He's batted third in every single game this season so far for the Padres. Just, there's no reason to not want to take a chance and have Jake Cronenworth on your team. He needs to be rostered pretty much in every single format. Let's talk about Hunter Brown now. I've been a huge, huge fan of Hunter Brown. I was saying it all offseason to draft him, and I drafted him myself in four or five leagues. I'm not the type who, if I'm in on a player, I'm going to draft him 100% of the time. I don't want to get too burned, but generally, like the guys that I'm in on, I'll draft about 25 to 40% of the time, and he was definitely in that group this year. And oh man, did he ever do some damage today. My Tout Wars team, which has really been doing well so far, the pitching categories in particular have been just excellent. Glasnow was just, you know, a savior the other day. He undid all of that good Hunter Brown did today. He allowed, nine earned runs, 11 hits. He walked a batter in two-thirds of an inning. The ERA for the day was 121.5, and the whip was 18. This is going to take quite a bit of time to undo the damage from, but I'm not panicking on Hunter Brown. I'm not going to be giving up on all of the research that we did for months and months on a guy like Hunter Brown and just, you know, take a couple of bad starts and say, okay, you know what, I'm going to drop him. Because a lot of people are dropping him. He's been dropped, let's see how many times today already. Already 2,000 times in Yahoo leagues, and a lot of them, I think honestly probably all of them, you can't drop him if he was in your starting rotation. You'd have to drop him tomorrow. So tomorrow will be the mass exodus of Hunter Brown shares. And then if you're in the NFBC, we'll probably see a lot of people cut bait on Sunday. I think it's just way too early. We're talking about three starts that have not gone particularly well. Like, absolutely fair. Well, first of all, the first one went fairly well against the Yankees. 4 shutout innings, he was fine. Texas, it was bad. Kansas City, it was very bad. It was one of the worst starts in Major League history by all accounts today online. But we're still talking about a guy with very high prospect pedigree who was at the Major League level last year. I know he had a 5.09 ERA, but his ERA estimators were very good. The strikeout minus walk rate was very good as well at 18.5. Did not have a command issue, was able to strike out batters at a similar rate to what he did in the minor leagues. He was pretty good considering he had a 5 ERA. He's still somebody that I'm believing in, and I'm not just like, you know, if there was massive signs of velocity decreases, then it'd be a bit of a different story. And there was a slight decrease today. I think it was, what was it on his fastball? About a mile down on his fastball. You know, the slider was down four miles per hour, but I don't read into velocity changes as much with off speeds because pitchers do tinker with them a little bit more. It's not something that I'm reading so much into. It's something to keep an eye on, but he only threw it four times. I'm not going to read a lot into that. His fastball being down one tick is something, but again, we're talking about 16 pitches here. He's usually averaging 95.7. He was averaging 94.7. It's not something that I'm reading a lot into. You can look at it as part of an overall problem with Hunter Brown and just another reason why you would want to be out on him. Then, okay, I guess. But it's just too soon, in my opinion, to be giving up on somebody with this kind of talent. Like, I think that he can be a true ace. That's why I was so interested. That's why I drafted him everywhere. And it wasn't just me. A lot of people, a lot of very smart people, people that are way smarter than I am, were also touting Hunter Brown this offseason. So if you're going to cut bait for him, there better be a really good option. And that's the thing. Like, even just looking at my 10-team waiver wire, it's not like they're, you know, 10-teamers are always, you know, touted as being like, oh, it's, you know, so many great players always available, but like there's not really that many pitchers available in most leagues. And mine is maybe a little bit deeper because there are, I added a pitching slot. So there is, what is it? 9 pitching slots on the starting roster. Yeah. 9 that you start and then you have, you know, your bench, you can do whatever you want with, but the pitchers that are available on waiver wire, even just in this one example of a 10 team head to head category league on Yahoo, the best pitcher available is like Javier Assad, Tyler Anderson, like Drew Smiley, Colin Ray, Martin Perez. Yeah, I mean, you're not dropping him for any kind of upside here. Maybe if you want to tell yourself you're going to use the spot for streaming or something, but like, I just can't get around to justifying that in my head yet. If he keeps doing this over the entire month of April and it's like 4 more bad starts or 3 more bad starts, then okay. Right now, I'm really not that concerned about Hunter Brown. If he gets dropped, pick him up. If people are selling him for nothing, then I would be trading your worst player for him because I think it'll get a lot better than what we've seen. But guys, my throat is really going through it, so I am going to cut it short there. But I appreciate everybody who has found the show recently. If you guys are liking what you're hearing, please leave a rating and review. It really does help the show to grow, be seen by more people, and that's always the goal here. If you got any questions about anything, comments, anything at all, JoelRico99, the DMs are open over there. And also make sure you're checking out Ethos Fantasy BB for all of our new baseball and fantasy baseball content at Sports Ethos. Guys, we'll do it again tomorrow and wrap up the week. But until then, take care and have a great night.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.